Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we will preview Brandon Figueroa versus Mark Magsayo. That's a good fight at featherweight. We're going to open up the mailbag. A lot of good questions in here. WBO has ordered Terrence Crawford versus Alexis Rocha. That fight is happening whether you like it or not. Taylor Serrano pushed back. Maybe we'll get to a little Jake Paul if I really want to piss off Chris. Here we go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. This is episode 214. I am Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. Ronnie is here. Super producer Ronnie. We're burning the midnight oil here. We're at the office past 5 p.m. as we record this. Had ourselves a nice little weekend with Jake Paul. We're looking ahead to a nice weekend of boxing. And then the schedule really, really starts to ramp up. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm glad we got this in before it got too late, because we were originally gonna do this pretty late, but now this is good.
Yeah, we're six. It's 6:15. By the time you listen to this, it will be whatever time. It's not a live program, but we'll get into a lot today. Chris, I actually want to give you the floor. I have a new segment that we're introducing here on Inside Boxing Live. It is called the Opening Round with CA. You can talk about anything you want here. I usually tee you up, and I usually have some of the topics prepared. I know you do offer some input as well, but the floor is yours. Opening round with CA. Let's go.
Okay, yeah. So based on what's going on in the news right now, there's a fighter, Daniela Scardina, from Italy, who suffered a injury in sparring and is actually now in a coma, suffering from a brain injury. And he had a training session, sparring session, came back, didn't feel good, said he had an earache, was feeling dizzy, went to the hospital, did emergency surgery, and he's now currently in a coma. By the time you hear this, things might be different. Hopefully he recovered. Our thoughts and prayers go to him. But essentially what I really want to talk about is the idea that how much damage that fighters incur during training, even before the fight ever happens. And you'll hear a lot of fighters say they go into fights with injuries, and when you talk to us, when we get to talk to each other, when no one's listening, we always say you almost never go into a fight 100%, because training camps are so hard and there's so much damage that occurs during that, whether it's your hands or your shoulders or your elbows or your knees or your hips or your brain, because we are sparring and we spar hard and we bring in guys to bring in the best talent we can for our sparring sessions. So the amount of damage that you take during training session, getting ready for fights, is significant, and it does add up. And the thing about brain injury and brain trauma is it doesn't really get much better. You just kind of, you have a life to how many punches you can take. People always talk about, oh, the chin just, he lost his chin, or now we can't take a punch. Like, how does that happen? Well, it's because of what's going on with the brain. And there's a lot of things that can happen. A lot of times when you see guys as they get older, their reactions aren't as good, their balance isn't as good, their hand-eye coordination isn't good. So even when you see these fighters who are fantastic fighters when they were in their prime, you start to see them later on, and they just don't react the same way. Something that comes to mind that maybe a lot of people don't think about, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yep.
When he fought Camacho. People are going into that fight, it's like, wow, Sugar Ray Leonard. And Camacho's a great fighter, of course, but it's Sugar Ray Leonard. But his reaction, his ability to see the punches coming, he made Camacho look like a one-punch knockout artist. In terms of what Camacho was able to do that night, and you can't sit there and base Leonard's career or his based on that fight because of what he had done prior and leading up to that. It's like, oh, if you saw that, if that was the first time you saw Sugar Ray Leonard, you wouldn't think much of him. But unfortunately, it's one of those situations where the damage of a career adds up. And I think actually Sugar Ray Leonard is one of the people who said, like, every time you fight, you leave a piece of yourself in the ring. And that's very true. But listen, you leave a piece of yourself in training camp, getting ready for a fight. And we've got a guy like Scardina now, you know, Daniele, he's a great guy. He trains down here in South Florida. He was over in Italy when this injury happened. And, you know, this happened during training, during sparring, getting ready for a fight. He was going to fight in a couple of weeks, and now he's fighting for his life. So I think we need to just take a moment to understand that what fighters go through and what it takes to get into the ring and how dangerous it is that we do. And it's not just fight night. The lifestyle that a fighter lives is wrought with danger, and every corner is a chance for them to get permanently injured and never be able to do what they're out here to do and provide for their family. So thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family, and we're hoping for the best.
Yeah, let's hope for the best for him. And great points, well said. I mean, I think of a lot of fans out there, they see fight night. That's really it. Maybe they'll watch a 24/7 or, you know, some of the pre-hype stuff that Showtime puts out at ESPN. You get a little glimpse into training camps, but you never really fully understand what goes into these training camps and those hard rounds. And I've heard, you know, the dog, whatever Mayweather used to call his gym. The dog pound. You've sparred there. You've trained there where they go 15 minutes. And there really isn't any regulation, which is crazy. It's almost like the gym regulate, the coaches regulate, but there really isn't. There isn't any like, all right, this is when you can do, can't do. It's a sport that has a lot of rules when you come to fight night, you know, to look after the safety and the health of fighters, but you don't know what happens in training camp when there's no referees, there's no commission over there. And that seems to be the case here, and that seems to be the case a lot of times when these fighters – this happens to them. You hear of it happening in fights, but you don't know what exactly goes on behind those closed doors. So, damn, that's tough. I mean, it's been a year, you know, the Eidos Gyarbarcinelli, the fighter over on Showtime. I mean, they announced on the last Showtime telecast that he's walked out of the hospital himself. He's home with his family, miraculous recovery. So we're hoping for the same for our guy there, Scardina. And, damn, that's tough. I mean, it's the side of the sport that – no one really wants to discuss. We talked about that when we did our Gyarbarcinelli episode. It's the elephant in the room. It's something that fight fans don't really want to talk about and media don't want to talk about, but it's something that I know that fighters want to talk about, like yourself, because you've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the reason that we take this stuff so seriously in terms of whether it's training or regulations or making sure that the fighter safety and health going into a fight is at, you know, it's got to be at par. I mean, it's got to be on par with the best athletes in the world in terms of health, and because what we're doing is very dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous sports in the world. You know, and it almost seems like it's getting more and more dangerous because we're seeing more young fighters falling to these permanent injuries. I can't help but talk about my guy, Patrick Day. You know, he's 26, 27 years old. Didn't have that many fights, was always a guy who was a consummate professional, always in great shape. And, you know, was live on TV and went down and never got up. And it's a terrible part of the sport. It's something that isn't necessarily new, but it does seem like it's happening more and more. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but again, it's a tough aspect of what we do. But, you know, this is boxing, man.
Yep. Absolutely. Well said. Before we get into the rest of the show, let's talk a little bit about some DraftKings. NBA action is heating up. Be a part of it with DraftKings Sportsbook, official betting partner of the NBA. You could tap into all the excitement with one click of a button. New customers can place $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to the app, opt in, place same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you get a bonus bet back. I am riding pretty high right now. I'm feeling good about my Knicks, Algieri. You're a New Yorker.
Right.
You like the Knicks?
Fan too.
Knicks fan, right? You're a New Yorker. You like the Knicks.
Yeah.
The Knicks are playing the Nets. The Nets were like the hot team in town. You know, KD, they had Kyrie Irving. They're gone. This is now the Knicks' time. You were alive for that run in 94. I remember run in 94. Some of the best years. The Knicks were
I got
back.
A Knicks jersey that says Algeri on the back. So
For fighting at the Garden?
Yes.
That is cool. That is very cool. So you can place some bets on the Knicks, place some bets on some of the teams in the NBA, because that's what we got right now before we get into March Madness as well. NBA, that's what's going on right now. So download the app now. Sign up with the code IBL IBL. New customers can place $5 on any pregame moneyline bet. Get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, Chris, what do we want to start with first? We'll get into the headlines. We have a few items here before we get to our mailbag, but item number one, WBO orders Terrence Crawford versus Alexis Rocha. Officially ordered. They have 20 days to negotiate. If you thought this fight was going to go away a few weeks ago when it first came up, you're wrong. Barring a miracle, and that miracle would be Errol Spence Crawford fight rising from the ashes, Terrence Crawford is going to fight Alexis Rocha.
We spoke about this a few weeks ago when it first got brought up, and we were like, why? Who cares? You know, especially because they've been dangling Errol Spence in front of us. Trying to find a reason to be happy about this or okay with this is that I'm thinking, I don't think Rocha stands a chance. I don't think they're on the same level at all. We're looking at one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world, arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, fighting someone who is just breaking into the next level of his career, hasn't fought for a title yet, is not a world champion. It's a big, big step up in class for him. Happy for him. Great opportunity. He can go out there and shock the world, potentially. I don't see it. But this looks like, to me, like Crawford doesn't want to take a really tough fight because of the Errol Spence fight is still in the air. That is the only good thing I can think of with this fight. If he's, you know, his last fight, he Avanesian, who was a tough guy, but guy, again, another guy that is not going to beat Terrence Crawford, and he didn't. And this is that kind of fight as well. It's almost like we're treading water until we can get to that Errol Spence fight.
I don't know.
But I don't know, man. I'm still seeing that carrot. I'm that dumb donkey on the treadmill looking for that fight.
So that the Crawford Spence is like the Tank Garcia for you. Like I thought I was holding out hope that it would happen, and you said there's no way it's gonna happen. Like I've given up on Crawford Spence, and you're still thinking it's gonna happen.
Like again, I'm the dumb donkey on the treadmill who can't get that carrot. Can't get it out of my mind because it's right in front of my face. So that's the only thing I can think of. Whenever their names come up, Crawford, Spence, it comes up like I either one of them, I think of the other guy. They're literally entwined now in terms of their careers, and that's, I don't know, man. It's just it's really upsetting that this fight has not happened yet, but there's still some hope. Optimistic CA is not really a thing, but I don't know. It's still there.
I thought every day that went by where a Spence fight was not announced with Thurman gave us a little bit of hope, mm-hmm. of hope. They have not, Showtime has not putting out an official schedule like they usually do. They're kind of trickling out their fights, but they have not said anything about Errol Spence yet. They have not said if his next fight is going to be against Keith Thurman. They have not said if it's going to be at 154 pounds. But this kind of deads it, in my opinion, for the next, at least. Crawford, Rocha, the only silver lining, I guess, is Crawford staying at 147. He's not jumping up to 154 yet. We'll see if Spence moves up to 154. There was when the Thurman fight was rumored, it was going to be going down at 154, which is crazy because Spence is a unified champion at 147. Thurman's never fought at 154. We're going to get Crawford Rocha, I think, next. And what's wild to me is that Terrence Crawford, age 35, how many more fights does he have left in him? A handful? And his last two fights are David Avanesian, and they are going to be now Alexis Rocha. In a career with fights that no fans have really been excited about, it almost reminds me of Terrence of Tyson Fury to a lesser degree because Fury did fight Wilder. He fought Klitschko. But Fury using this past year at the prime or somewhat in the prime of his career, don't know how many fights Fury has left to fight Dillian White and Derek Chisora. I feel like, it was kind of like a waste. And we're seeing the same thing with Crawford. It's like, what other sport do you have the pound-for-pound best fighter or the best team out there, and they're not taking on the best opponent out there, the best competition out there? It's a dud. I there's no other way to go about it. I'm pretty upset with Crawford over the last couple months.
Yeah, that fight's going to get no love in this show from now until it happening, because we said as soon as it was announced, we're like, why? Who cares? And I don't see that changing.
Like, good for Rocha, though. I mean,
like I said, good for him.
Like, good for him. He didn't do anything wrong. He's just right place at the right time. The fourth-ranked fighter in the WBO, the guys above him are fighting Stanionis and Virgil Ortiz. So, therefore, Rocha just right place at the right time. Let's see if he could put up a good fight. So it's on Crawford more than it's on Rocha. Next bit of news here. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano push back due to a injury suffered by Amanda Serrano. They didn't specify what the injury was. I saw this coming from a mile away. I think a lot of people did.
You called it.
Serrano was in a war with Erica Cruz. Most punches thrown and landed ever in a women's fight. And they went in the ring afterwards, and I thought it was kind – I was excited to see that they announced the fight. I was surprised to see that they had a May 20th on there, especially the type of fight they were just in. It's the fact that Serrano looked so beat up, and she's standing there with Katie Taylor, who's fresh in, like, street clothes, and they're like, May 20th. I'm like, May 20th? That's, like, 2 months away.
We still have those photos. Like you said, Amanda Serrano's face is all lumped up and red, and then Katie Taylor's next to her, you know, like, not at fight weight, and
right?
Just smiling and happy, and like, come on, guys. You got to be realistic about the athletes in front of you. You never know what's going to happen in a fight. So, yeah, having that idea – okay, cool. When Amanda wins, we bring Katie Taylor in. Not expecting it to be a fight of the year candidate where Amanda takes a ton of punishment and has to throw a million punches. So, yeah, it was probably premature to do that. And you called it. You said, I'm like, how are you going to have a fight that close after an absolute knockdown, drag-out war between those two ladies?
And they're up there in age, towards the twilight of their career. But you got to give Serrano credit. I mean, she really wanted to make history. She really wanted to get that fourth belt and be the only undisputed fighter of Puerto Rican descent in the four belt era, get that milestone for her career. And she went through fire to get it. And now her big money fight, I wouldn't say is in danger. I do think they're going to fight. But if it happens in August, happens in September, gives them a little more time to potentially get it at Croke Park. Also, I just think it will be a better fight. It's a better product. If Serrano was fully healthy, not rushed into a May 20th fight.
Yeah, that fight's not going anywhere. The clamor for that fight is huge. The demand for it is everyone wants it. Also, I this is something that I brought up, you know, initially too, was, you know, she got to jump up two weight classes from her last fight. Now she's got more time. She's going to put on some muscle, put on some weight.
Yep.
We've seen her do it before. She's been all over the map in terms of weight. You know, her and her team are really good in terms of her nutrition and her physical training in order to make her strong enough and big enough for the weight classes. So she got more time to fill in to that weight class to have that rematch with Katie Taylor, which I like. I want a more competitive fight.
Who do you think's going to win? So
initially, when this was going to be May, I was like, oh, Katie Taylor's going to run her over.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what I said. The weight, I think having a war two months prior, having two weight classes to jump up to, it wasn't adding up for Serrano to, you know, wasn't giving her a good chance. Now, changes things. Now we've got a real opportunity for Serrano to heal and recover, prepare properly for Katie Taylor, who I believe is the best woman in the world. And listen, at the end of the day, Amanda already hurt Katie. We saw it.
Yeah, fifth round.
Wobbled her, rocked her. Amanda has that power. She does have that punch. She is a very special human being. So there's always that opportunity. I like both ladies a lot. I say it again. I think Katie Taylor is the best in the world from what she's done in her career. But honestly, by the time they fight, it's still a pick 'em fight.
I love that. There's some silver linings to this. Silver linings are Serrano being fully healthy and it maybe ending up in Croke Park. I do want to see that.
I like that too. I like that.
I don't know if I'm even saying it right. It's Croke Park or Croke Park. The Irish fans out there, because we're international, this show. I have a lot of people checking in from all over the world. You can come and tell me if I'm saying it right or wrong. Okay. Next headline, Mr. Algieri. Rolly Romero. Fighting for a world title at 140, your division, against Albert Puelo. This is part of Showtime's. They rolled out a few fights and made some official. It's going down in May. I've always said meritocracy does not exist in boxing. There's no such thing as I deserve this title shot. It's all about putting asses in seats. It's all about selling tickets. It's all about ratings. And Rolly Romero, that guy sells. He is a character. He certainly doesn't deserve a title shot in his first fight at 140 against Albert Puelo. Like, I understand.
Brutal knockout loss at 135.
To Tank.
Brutal knockout loss at 135. Goes up to 140, gets a title shot against definitely the weakest champion in the division. Titleist in the division?
Yeah.
Wow. Who sold that he signed off to get that opportunity?
I think I know why. It's because he is a name. Like, people, credit to him for generating buzz around himself, despite having
top-tier skills. Is he a name?
I think he is, because there was a lot of buzz around that tank fight. He sold it pretty well. He's got a. I think people tune in, like, they can't. He's kind of cringe. Like, he, that some of those press conference moments were heinous. They were horrible. They were so bad. Horrible. And but I think he sells.
Very, very low level trash talk, by the way. Like, I mean, and I don't mean low level in terms of like it being trashy. I mean low level in terms.
No, it wasn't good. It was hard. It went viral in the wrong way. Like, it made it to like non boxing Instagram pages. Like, this,
like, it's goofy.
Like,
it's
the caption was the worst trash talk you'll ever hear at a fight. It was Rolly Romero. But I think he has a name. There aren't a lot of characters in boxing. Like, he's a throwback in terms of like being a character and being hated. And but what he's getting a title shot. And what's really sticks out to me is that Gary Antoine Russell, who is a really good 140 pounder, was 100% knockout rate, is fighting on the undercard of this. Like, he should be getting the shot at 140.
He blows out Rolly, by the way. I mean, he stopped Victor Postol. And I mean, and he's got like 13 fights.
Late stoppage,
late stoppage. Granted, it was a competitive fight. Granted, people say that it, you know, was a great. I don't care. Like, Victor Postol is very good and a really hard guy to look good against. And that's a huge step up. Rolly didn't fight a guy like that. Beat a guy like that. And so, yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. That's a perfect explanation of meritocracy in boxing, because
not exist.
That kid has done it and this guy has said it.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
Let's talk about March. It's March 1st as we record this. It's the first week of March.
Guys are listening, it's March 2nd. It's out.
Well, depends when Ronnie gets it out, but I think it will come out March 2nd. March 2nd's on right there below. Hear it there. Episode 214, bang. March 2nd. Good month for boxing. It's starting to heat up. Look at these fights. Got Plant Benavides, end of the month. Figueroa Magsaya, which we will preview in just a few seconds. Tim Zhu, Tony Harrison. Sinisa Estrada returns. We got Zerto versus Gabe Rosado, which I do not like. But it's going to be,
like,
I don't know what that's going to look like. Jose Ramirez versus Richard Comey on the 25th, going up against Plant Benavides. That fight's going to get buried, but it's still a fun fight between two contenders. Chris Colbert versus Jose Valenzuela on the Plant Benavides.
The return of Little B-Hop.
Yeah, I think he goes by, I think he has a new name now. I think it's Showtime, even though he hasn't fought since that loss where he was literally
Buddy. Showtime, let's go.
I love this fight here. Jesus Ramos versus Joey Spencer. Let's sink or swim time for Spencer.
I was surprised that fight was made. Isn't Spencer like 22 years old, 21, something like that?
He is like the golden child of the PBC. They put him on like those big Fox slots. Yeah. And we'll see. We'll see what he's got. He's definitely progressing, and he's going to have his work cut off for him. That's also on the Benavidez Plant undercard. Diego Pacheco returns against Jack Cullen. I like this.
One of my favorite prospects out there.
March 11th, we got Lawrence Okoli coming back. We got Callum Smith. Those are going to be huge favorites.
He's been training down here, Okoli.
Down
in Florida.
He's no longer. Mm-hmm. I think he's not with Matchroom. I think, or he's in his last fight with Matchroom. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe Okoli could potentially fight Badu Jack at cruiserweight. Callum Smith returns. He's going to be a huge favorite. And then
I love him at light heavyweight. I'm not gonna lie, what he's been doing there,
he looks impressive.
Yeah,
he looks impressive. There was a heavyweight fight this month that did not make my list here. Big Baby, your guy,
my guy,
going up against Marcus Brown. That's a sloppy fight.
Is that in Dubai?
That's a slop fest. Definitely not in the U.S.
No.
We could probably pull it up.
I don't think Big Baby's can get a license here, but
Big Baby versus Lucas Brown. Lucas Brown, who beat Junior Fa miraculously. I don't know how that happened. Lucas Brown's like 42 years old.
I was gonna say, when's the last time he had a win? Apparently,
no. Lucas Brown, he beat Junior Fa on the Haney Cambosos undercard, the rematch. Dubai. Wow. Yeah, so that's March. That's what's going on in March. Good fights, bad fights, sloppy fights. You get it all in boxing. I love
also my birthday month.
Wait, it's your birthday this week, right?
My birthday's today. Well,
what? March 2nd?
March 2nd.
Wow. Chris Algieri turning 31.
Yeah. This is my last year of my 30s.
That's wild.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? When I was 29, I was like freaking out for all these stupid reasons, like, oh, I'm 30, I can't go to this club, or I can't do this, or I gotta get my life in order, gotta get my credit in order, gotta do this, gotta do that. Like, how are you feeling before in your year 39, before 40?
Yeah, I was talking to one of my best friends whose birthday is next week. He's the following week, and I was like, yeah, you know, like, he's like, I've been saying I've been 40 for the past 2 years. I'm like, oh, I've been doing the opposite. I've been pretending I'm really young because I've still been fighting. Like, I've been cutting out my gray hairs. I'm like, yeah, you know, everybody fights in their 20s. So I'm just going to pretend I'm still young. Now, obviously, I'm not fighting as often. So I'm like, I can be 40. It's cool. I feel good. Still look pretty good.
Yeah, you look good, bro. You know? Yeah, both of us, like, don't look our age. Like, here, no. Old Man Dan is now my nickname. Because of my exploits on the Blitzball field. Check Blitzball Battle 3 is coming soon.
Yeah, but you're killing it. You're like, I see highlights of you crushing balls and running you know, putting up, what is it, 5'3"?
5'3"40. Suck it.
5'3"40. Suck it.
Suck it.
Every time.
Everyone.
Hashtag suck it.
Yep, I can still run with the best of them. I can still hit with the best of them. But yeah, I every morning I snip out a few grays in the beard.
Age is just but a number, bro.
Yeah, but I'm
just
saying we do look good. Like, people at the office, when they found out I was 35, they were shocked. They thought 28, 29. We got a 22. How old are you, Ronnie? 23-year-old here in the studio, Ronnie. How you feeling,
Ronnie, I could be your dad, literally. Yeah,
you guys can be my parents. In some ways, you are.
Well, buddy, that's not the way it works, but yeah, okay.
In some states, yes. Ronnie, while we have you here on mic, we will be heading to Las Vegas for Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Davis. We're going. John Boy Media will be there. We'll have a ton of content. Ronnie, you will not be coming. A big fight eludes you once again.
Boo.
I'm sorry. You have an official statement?
I want to start a movement, a petition. I get Ronnie to Vegas.
How about get Ronnie to any fight?
Get Ronnie to fight. Yeah, I've been in the industry for a while and haven't been to a...
6 months.
I think Ronnie's first fight should be my next fight. I think that should be.
Wow. Well, we talked about this, but you weren't here. We if Chris does have another fight, we're walking him to the ring.
Oh, that's without question.
Yeah, you guys are going to be in the back. We'll do the whole thing. We'll do the whole lead up.
I said, I honestly don't like.
I'm going to be the opening card.
I want Chris to just be a full-time broadcaster. I think he had a phenomenal career, but it's obviously up to him if he wants to get back into the ring.
Of course,
but now, since he says that we can walk him in, like, for selfish reasons, I'm like, get back in there.
Okay? I mean, he's only
39. Beat Broner's ass.
He's only 39.
39.
That's right.
So
George Foreman won a world title at 45. I got the picture right here.
There you go, Big George. He took a bunch of years off though. He was, you know.
They're making a movie on his life. You see that?
It should. His career is amazing.
Best. Fun story about George Foreman. We're going off the rails here, but fun story about George Foreman. He worked for HBO with my dad for HBO Boxing, and in the early mid 90s, my dad comes back from Vegas at a fight, and he has this giant box in his hand. We're like, what the hell is that thing? It looks like a robot. He goes, it's freaking a grill. You know, it's Foreman's grill. It was like one of the originals. Like, Foreman.
The first one.
A prototype.
It was the prototype.
It really was. Foreman gave he gave them out to everyone at HBO. And my dad was like, what the hell is this thing? Still have it. It's the original awesome. Foreman grill. And he
Dude,
thought it was going to be
nothing.
Have your
dad send a picture of that. I want to see that.
I still have it in our basement. We honestly thought, Foreman thought it was going to be nothing. I think he ended up making like $350, $400 million off of it. Like, Hulk Hogan turned it down, you know that.
No way.
It was supposed to be Hulk first.
The Hulk.
Talk about a bad business move.
Hulk and grill.
In a series of bad decisions by the Hulkster.
Oh, I mean.
Brother, you made a bad decision.
Brother.
Yeah.
Big George. Big George was a phenomenon for a while. All his kids all named George.
All named George.
Thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah. George Foreman has 5 or 6 kids all named George.
What?
Yeah, I met one of them. He had a gym here in the city.
Yeah.
George the third.
Yeah. I met George the third many times.
Yeah, and when I was working at Bleach Report, George Foreman came
through. Is that the grandson?
No. Son. All named George.
Wait,
son.
So that's the third George.
George three.
In the, yeah. So Ronnie,
in the lineage of
Junior. They're all named George. The same.
But
same
the,
litter.
The third
the
doesn't work
litter.
That way.
I know it's and that's how prolific George Foreman is.
Well, technically, chronologically it does, but yeah, no, normally not. That's not how it works.
Yeah, George the third.
So that's the third.
No,
George.
The third son. Named
the third
George.
Son. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, wow.
Right.
Okay.
Awesome guy. He used to also call me like there was like 3 years in a row when my dad was on the road for my birthday. And I get a call. My mom would say, run down. Dad's on the phone. I get on the phone, and it would be George Foreman. He would say, happy birthday, champ. I heard you're a good kid. Stay in line, blah, blah, blah. And I would be like, oh, my That's God, awesome. George Foreman just called me. That's so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he was a preacher, too, for a long time. So
preacher. He quit boxing, yeah. Came back. He lost all his money.
Oh.
Came back. Won the world title, age 45. Oldest. Knocked out Michael Moore.
Wow. I'd love that fight.
You know what also is this week is the 20th anniversary of Roy Jones Jr. winning the heavyweight title.
John Ruiz.
Yeah. Going from fighter to go from 154, right, to heavyweight.
Yeah. So I say it all the time with one of my best friends who's like a boxing savant. We always say if Roy Jones Jr. retired after John Ruiz, fighter of all time.
It, honestly, that was his downfall, was that heavyweight fight, because after that he went right back down to light heavy. Down,
fought Tarver, struggled to win, and then the rematch. Even if he struggled and then beat Tarver and then was like, you know what, I'm good, I don't got it anymore. Still, best fighter ever. But then he fights Tarver again, he gets starched. Then Glenn Johnson, and then all those the Russian fighters. Ugh, terrible.
And now he's fighting again in a legitimate fight against Anthony Pettis.
We'll see if that...
Why, you're hearing some things? You're hearing some things?
We'll see if that card happens.
Chrissy sources? You're hearing things?
I
hope it gets, honestly, I hope it gets fucking canceled. I do not want to see, or at least Roy Jones doesn't fight. I hope the card stays intact so everyone can get paid. I just hope Roy Jones does not fight in that fight. Come on, man.
The writing's on the wall for that. That's a really hard card to pull off.
MMA guys boxing. Wants
yeah,
to
it's
see
a lot
that.
Of money. A lot of, you got to pay those guys. Roy don't fight for free. You got to pay Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. Where are we? So that's what's going on in the headlines. We've got a big fight preview this weekend. Brandon Figueroa is taking on Mark Magsayo. This fight's at 126. It's Figueroa's first fight at 126. He's moving up from 122, where he was a world titleist and was very good there. It's on Showtime. Showtime's killing it right now. They're putting out a lot of fights, and they are going to be putting out even more. I like this fight. I like this fight a lot. Magsayo beat Gary Russell, but there were a lot of question marks after that because Gary Russell almost won that fight despite having legitimately one arm. Magsayo, it took him 8 years to win a world title, Chris, and then he lost it 160 days later to Ray Vargas. Figueroa is the stud. What's that noise? What are you playing there?
That's me.
You playing?
Sorry about that.
You playing an Instagram video?
No, I was looking up. I was looking up Magsayo, and I don't know.
I like that research on the fly.
Yeah, man. I want to be fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan.
Magsayo is it took him 8 years to get that title. He gets that title shot against Gary Russell, fought a good fight, but I had a lot of questions myself. It's like, dude, how do you barely beat a guy with one arm? Like you should have won that dominant. You should have dominated.
It's Gary Russell, though. Gary Russell is awesome.
But it was one of those fights where I was like, yeah, Magsayo won, but like the bigger story was you had a lot of question marks and you almost lost to a one-arm fighter.
And then he lost to Ray Vargas.
Then he lost, so he's a brawler. He's going to come forward. I like this fight a lot. Figueroa, number one in boxing in punches thrown around, 93. 28 landed, number one. Number one in power punches thrown and landed. He's also number one in opponents' power punches landed. He's a brawler. Figueroa is a brawler. I like this fight at 126. It's some new blood at 126 in Figueroa. Leaning Figueroa late stoppage. How about yourself?
Yeah, I got Figueroa in this fight. I love Figueroa. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's a lot of fun. Him and his brother are pretty similar in terms of the way they fight. They're just all action guys. They go forward. They outlast you. They outpunch you. They throw a ton of punches, and they end up wearing you down. And Magsayo, who's another fun guy too, I just think he's super limited, but he's essentially the bigger man, and he can punch too. So it should be a fun fight as long as it lasts, and I do see it going late at least, if not. Decision, but yeah, I lean towards Figueroa outworking based on just being busier.
Yeah, I think Figueroa at that weight is going to be a force. I don't know
even
how
better,
far he'll go at 126. It's a pretty loaded division. Mauricio Lara, some of the other guys, other featherweights that are circling around, and it's a good division. But I like Figueroa to win late. I'm almost
Luis Neary, who I'm a huge fan of too. Luis
yeah,
Neary,
stopped
him. We just covered last week. Stopped him, which is huge. That was obviously the biggest win of his career by a long shot. But that's a massive feather in the cap So
I like Figueroa. I think he's going to win.
Yeah, I like Neary. So when Figueroa beat him, I was like, oh, I like this guy now. You know, so not that I don't like Neary anymore. I like them both. I don't write guys off.
You're a front runner.
But, no. I don't write guys off. I like you. But it showed me how good Figueroa really is and what he can do. So,
You know who's also on this card? Jarrett Hurd. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's back. Yeah. This guy was a force for a while. He's at 160.
He's got a weird career.
Very weird. He wasn't even like supposed to be a boxer. Then he got in it, and then he told his mom, like, I'll only fight 10 fights if I'm not this, that, and the other, like, set milestones. And was a world titleist, was very busy in some great fights. Fought mm-hmm. Tony Harrison, fought Trout. His fight with Lara was like 2018 fight of the year. They were always,
that was probably his best performance, the Lara fight.
Absolutely. And like him and Charlo were like natural enemies, and I thought that fight was gonna happen, and then he lost to Julian Williams. That was a big upset.
Give it to Julian Williams though. He fought amazing fight that night. Julian, he looked Williams. Awesome. So Julian, yeah, I love him too.
Good,
he was in camp, Jack sparred Danny Jacobs when I was in camp with him, getting ready for, I believe, the Canelo fight.
Okay.
And he came in and he was in awesome shape. I mean, incredible shape. And he still had like 7 weeks to go before the fight. And I remember telling him, I'm like, yeah, what's your weight at? And he told me, I was like, stay where you are. You're primed. Just stay where you are. Be ready for the fight. And then he fought Jarrett Hurd and put on an amazing performance. Looked awesome that night. And I was really excited for his career. And then
he's back. I mean, 160. It's wide open. He can find himself moving up in a division that is a lot of people moving out of. But he's fighting also as well. I'm looking at the odds here on DraftKings. Hurd is a -425 favorite. But if you parlay that with Figueroa by KO or TKO, you get +239 odds. It's not a huge parlay. Like, that's probably what I would go with this weekend. Figueroa by stoppage, Hurd on the money line.
But a guy like you who's so good at this, that's what you'd go with?
I'm 0-2. I'm 0 for my last two. 0 for my last two parlays. on another fight on this card, why is that funny? I was hot, and now I'm not. I'm getting back on track.
I might have jinxed you a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry.
I probably jinxed myself. I jinxed myself the minute I read out all my wins. Remember, I did that at the beginning of a show.
You were very high on yourself, and I said,
"Why would I do that?"
It wasn't too long ago that you were really in the gutter.
Stupid. I read out all my wins at the beginning of that show 3 weeks ago, and then I haven't won a bet since. But
pride. Pride's a killer.
Yep. There's another the fight on this card. Amilcar Vidal versus Elijah Garcia. That's a closer fight. It's Vidal is a +105 underdog. I probably wouldn't touch that one. I might go with Hurd and Figueroa. I haven't finalized it yet, but plus odds on that one. That's the main card of the weekend over on Showtime. Ron, I'm seeing something on the screen there. We good? Just say we're good. We're good. We're good. We're moving. Mailbag time. Let's get to our mailbag.
Yes.
We have a lot of good questions. Shout out to everyone who submitted a lot of questions. Got a lot of them via YouTube. We will start with Sean Singletary. Simple question. Subjective question. Who are each of your top five boxers from any era to watch? Boxers that either entertained or inspired you. I don't know if I'll name five, but Arturo Gatti, Mike Tyson, Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sergio Martinez. And then from this era, I really like the youth. You know, like for a while, Teofimo I thought was pretty inspiring. I like Joe Joyce. Those are just some I rattle off the top of my head. That's with no preparation. Chris?
Willie Pep, Sugar Ray Robinson,
oh, wow.
Sugar Ray Leonard,
showing
Alexis Arguello, Oscar De La Hoya, Arturo Gatti.
Yes.
Always got to have Arturo in there.
Oscar De La Hoya is on my list too.
Yeah, Oscar. I mean, dude, we say this all the time. I think I mentioned this on the show multiple times. People forget how much of a machine he was in the 90s. I mean,
beast.
At lightweight, 140, I mean, monster. 30, 35, and 40. And then he was pretty much unbeatable under 47. and even then, he was great at 47. But modern, I agree. I love Teofimo. I love watching him fight. I've called a lot of his fights. Big, big fan of his fighting style. Lomachenko. He does things that other people don't do. I was a kind of Loma hater for a bit, So, you know,
so a lot of Loma haters. I think he's one of the biggest lightning rods in boxing. People have such strong opinions on him either way.
I was, and I'm not anymore. He's won me over. That happens to me though. I have guys that I'm not a big fan of. Lennox Lewis was one. I was not a big fan of him during his career. Now I am very high on him as really up there with some of the best. Felix Trinidad, another guy that I was not high on when he was fighting, probably because he was beating all my favorite fighters, but incredible career.
Hopkins is one of my guys too. I loved watching.
I loved him during the middleweight tournament. That was sick.
That was awesome.
Joppy,
need to do
Keith
more
Holmes
of that.
Holmes and Trinidad, yeah.
Ronnie, who's your inspiring fighters today?
Most inspiring?
Yeah.
Rocky. Rocky, Creed, Michael B. Jordan.
Nioh Inoue.
Apollo.
Let's see, Apollo. What's the Russian one? Igor.
Drago.
Drago, yeah.
We'll get to Rocky at the end of the show. Ronnie has a good Ronnie's Rocky review.
Yeah, just stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Quesa de la Monte, one of our fan favorites.
That's our guy.
Yeah. Can I get y'all's reaction to Adrian Broner and BLK splitting? What's to come for his career? Chris, you were linked to this guy. You wanted to fight Adrian Broner. He's now left BLK before he ever got a fight with them. He's a free agent. Could we see, like, is Broner Algeri still alive?
No, because there's no money in it now. There
gotta
was money
find a new
there
promoter.
Before.
Hit up Keith Connolly.
Dude, I don't know. BLK Prime was throwing tons of money at people, so that made Fight Man sense. I was like, oh, okay. Broner's fine by them. They got a lot of money. That fight could happen. Now it's like, but then I also heard that the opponent wasn't making a lot of money in the BLK Prime either. So
yeah.
Them splitting is not a big surprise. The fact that BLK Prime is still around is probably a surprise.
I don't know if it is still around. I mean,
exactly. Maybe that's really the end of it, but. Yeah, I don't know. He's at this point of the stage of Broner's career, it's all up in the air.
I don't understand the interest.
The allure.
Yeah, he's not good. Like, he doesn't throw any punches. He's not really that entertaining anymore.
Well, it's similar to what you said about Rolly. He talks his way
Rolly
into
punches
into situations.
Hard, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's also really young and still viable and can make fun fights. Yeah, Broner's not.
Hearn said this week, he said, Adrian Broner was one of the best fighters I've ever seen, but that was 10 years ago. So I don't think Matchroom's signing him. So,
well, he might. He would just use him as an opponent for any of his
someone
guys,
will
of
come
course.
Along, like one of these BLK Prime Triller types, and give him crazy amount of money because he's in shape. Like, I think he'll fight this year, but don't quote me on that. Louis Overhand. Chris, after an amazing career, you earned to compete with elite fighters, specifically Spence Jr., the great Pac-Man Pacquiao. After facing both, who would you predict to take that win if they both faced and why?
Well, it depends. Are they fighting in their prime or are they fighting when they were scheduled the last time?
Let's say prime.
Pacquiao.
Okay, why?
Because he's Pacquiao.
How hard, like, what did Pacquiao do in there that you were like, holy shit?
Ray Beltran is actually training in our gym down here now. I get to speak with him all the time. He's a great guy. Sparred countless rounds with Pacquiao, one of his main sparring partners for a number of years. And even he was like, man, what was it like to fight him? Because he knows how incredible he is in terms of the way he moves and the stuff he does. And it's so weird the way he punches and moves and his offbeat rhythm. That's the biggest thing that I think I talk a lot about with him. It's his angles, his offbeat rhythm, the fact that he's doing things that are so unexpected yet still generating power. Very, very strange style, almost impossible to prepare for. That's why I took Marquez four times to figure him out, because it's just he does everything in from a textbook situation wrong. You could never teach his style to anyone. He just made it work. He was jumping off his feet and still hit hard with no feet on the floor. He cut angles where you should be safe, but he could still hit you and hurt you. People always ask about his power. Yeah, he's got power. He's got bricks for hands for sure. Keith Thurman said the same thing. But it's the combination of getting hit with punches you don't see plus having those heavy hands that makes it that hard. Listen, punch for punch, if you stand in front of him, it's him or Ruslan's going to hit harder. He's just a stronger guy who punches harder.
With the angles, right?
Ruslan, I knew his punches were coming. I saw them coming. Pacquiao, you don't see him. And it's a punch you don't see that hurts you the most. So I just think that, you know, he's just one of those guys, man. He loves fighting bigger guys, taller guys. His angles are really tough to deal with. And he has enough power that he gets respect even from big guys. I mean, he beat up Antonio Margarito.
Oh, that's one of my favorite of his performances.
Yeah.
Because it was everyone hated Margarito at that point because what he did to Cotto.
But then Cotto, another incredible performance from Pacquiao. But no one did
probably his overall best performance was against Cotto, but the most satisfying win, for me at least, was Margarito. But Pacquiao will tell you that was his most grueling fight, was Margarito.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in the beginning of the show. The preparation for that fight must have been brutal. How big all the sparring partners had to be, how hard he had to work throughout. And Margarito was no slouch, man. That guy could punch, and he was huge.
This guy, Louie, also asked me, which I think is funny. Dan, do the Oakland Athletics have something cooking up in the lab this season for 2023 and have a chance to overcome harsh past seasons? Is it our year? No, it's not your year. I mean, the Oakland A's should be relegated. I feel so bad for their fans. Like, they have the worst owner. They don't pour any money into the team. They're the worst stadium. There's, like, literal sewage going through their dugout, like, four or five times a season. Like, the A's suck, and I feel bad because they're such a storied franchise.
Jesus, Dan, you shot that guy down hard.
I think Louie Overhand knows. He knows. But to get a chance to talk baseball here on Inside Boxing Live, I'm all for it. But yeah, the A's are going to suck this year. Yanks are going to win it all. Julio Arroyo. Being the smaller number of dates that seem to be offered for fighters these days, how would you, Chris, approach today's landscape in terms of staying busy and trying to find the best fights?
Ooh, complicated question. I like to stay busy. I didn't have the control of my career and able to do that, especially at the height of my career. I tried to stay as busy as I possibly could. I think fighters now have a lot more leeway to kind of do that, depending on who you're signed with. But I would always like to stay busy. I loved what Canelo was doing and fighting literally in between fights against guys that had zero chance. It didn't matter because it was Canelo. When he fought Yildirim, I don't care. The guy doesn't belong to be there. You're still going to fight 2-3 months later. You're getting out there. The guy fought four times in a calendar year. That's awesome. I think being busy is really important, and that's killing the sport right now. And it's undermining how good these young fighters can really be.
I agree.
So any chance I could to take fights in between fights, even if I had to go to different countries and do whatever. And listen, I think of Sugar Ray Robinson doing the World Europe Tour, and he'd go there and he'd fight every the week and just knocking out bums as he went country to country. Listen, that stuff matters. It keeps you relevant. And we live in a time and that's so rare. And I think hurts the fighter and the sport.
Yeah, I agree. David Cushion said, guys, if you can go back in time and attend any fight, which would it be? Doesn't necessarily have to be the best fight. Could be a good fight with a great atmosphere. For me, it's Gotti Ward, and I'm pissed off that I did not attend this. I could have went. I went to Melanie Stafford's Sweet 16 instead.
Oof,
I hate you, Melanie Stafford.
You sucker, man.
I hate you, Melanie Stafford.
I was at all three of those, Dan. Gotti Ward 1, 2, and 3. At the Boardwalk Hall, number one, and then next two.
No, first one was in
Mohegan Sun, and then next to a Boardwalk Hall. I have the ticket stubs too.
Nice, you were there. Bob Canobio was there. You were there, and I remember getting home from the Sweet 16, and then putting the fight on. And I still remember watching in my living room and just being so pissed I wasn't there. Best fight, I think, is one of the best fights ever.
Yeah, man.
You have another one besides God. Obviously, you can't say God, because you were there.
That's not on my list. At all.
You were there. You can't say that one.
Because I was there. But also, it's like, I don't know. I don't think it was the best fight I've ever seen. Because their level just wasn't, they weren't that good. They were, you know, it was a war. But the two of them, they weren't championship level fighters. I would say Diego Corrales Castillo, right. Castillo Corrales, that fight was a much higher level. They're both world class guys. Arturo and Mickey were not world-class guys when they fought. So the level of skill just wasn't that high. So, but I would go, I'm going old school. I probably would do Jack Dempsey.
Oh boy.
And Willard.
Ronnie's a big fan of that fight.
Outside and just baking under the sun and, you know, everybody thought Jack Dempsey had horseshoes in his glove because he was smashing Willard's face and knocking him down and dragging him out. And it was one of the highest gates. I just think about being out there with one of those little hats and a cigar and watching these fights and these guys kill each other with mittens for gloves.
Yeah, seriously. Like
I would love to, and just to see that style of fighting, because it's so different than what we do now. These guys are rolling around. Yeah, they're rolling around each other and, you know, looking and more posturing than punching, because when they punch with those things, it doesn't take much. Yeah. But no one expected, you know, Dempsey to be able to do that against such a giant opponent, and he went out there and just completely chopped him down. That would be a good fight.
Someone said that we should go back and watch some like really old fights from like 1900s. Just to see, like, there was like wasn't even a 10 count. Like, they just got up and they were like almost hitting them as they were getting up.
They would stand over you. Yeah. It's insane. Nuts. And they knocked each other down all the time. They got dropped. Every major fight, the guys got dropped.
All right, we got one last one here. This guy wants to know. I don't have his name. I lost it. Whatever happened to Ronnie's Rocky reviews? I actually was enjoying them. Are you guys planning to watch Creed 3? It looks like a lot of real boxing people are in it. Boxers and trainers are really excited to see it. Ronnie, you're here. I feel like it's both of our faults. I was like, yeah, watch one tonight, and then you've just been so busy.
Yeah, it's tough to set aside time to watch a movie, you know. But Creed 3 looks great. Stephen A. Smith's in it, First Take stuff. Still got to watch
Chris
first
Mannix
two.
Chris Mannix is in it. What's his name? Grisham is in it.
My boy Todd.
There's, I think Crawford's in it. Jose Benavidez is in it.
I was supposed to go to the premiere in New York City, and
too busy in Florida.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, and I didn't want to fly up just for that. So yeah.
I'm gonna go see it this weekend, and I'll have a full review for the next show.
I mean, I tried watching Rocky II last night, and something very unfortunate happened. I fell asleep.
Wow.
Started it very late, but it wasn't the movie's fault. The beginning, here's my only review of Rocky II. I fell asleep maybe 10 minutes in.
10-minute Rocky review.
Yeah, 10-minute. That's all I needed. I thought it was cool that it was the same ending of Rocky I was the beginning of Rocky II. And I remember in my first Rocky review, I said I didn't like the ending. But after seeing this, it made me appreciate the ending a lot more. So I like it now. And I get it. Now I get it. So that was cool. And then I saw up until Apollo was like, oh, let's fight right here. And they're both in wheelchairs and stuff like that. So
how do you, like, after seeing the first 10 minutes, like, how do you think the rest of it's going to go? What do you think happens in the movie?
Obviously, it's going to be a rematch. Yes. And let's see. Rocky lost the first time. He would win the second time.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's what makes sense in my head. And
family plays a big role in this movie.
Let's see. The Adrian, that's her brother, right?
No, it's his love interest.
No. Adrian's brother.
Yeah, it's his manager.
I feel like he dies. I don't know.
No. No, maybe. You're going to have to watch the rest of it.
Well, I guess he doesn't.
So on the next episode, we'll have a Creed 3 review, and Ronnie will have
Rocky
watched 2. Full Rocky 2.
Yeah.
Well, I got to watch Creed 3, so.
Are you going to go to the theater and see it?
I got to do all of them.
You haven't seen any Creed?
I saw Creed, the first one.
I love Creed. The first Creed is so good. I rewatched it recently, and I thought it was even better. Like, I love Creed. I actually have it number 3. Like, someone asked me to put rank every the entire Rocky franchise, like, including Creed.
Didn't we all do that? I thought, I don't know.
But including the Creed movies.
Oh, okay.
So mine was Rocky, original Rocky 1, Rocky 4, number 2,
same
Creed. Rocky 2, Rocky Balboa, Rocky 3, Rocky 5. I have Creed 2 last. That was an abomination. So Creed 3 can't be any worse than Creed 2.
Well, I like the first Creed. I didn't see the second one yet. So I got to go back. I got to watch Creed 1 again.
It's on something, Hulu.
I like how, Ronnie, you said you didn't like the ending of 1 the first time. We talked about that. And I was like, dude, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And now you watch it, because that's how Rocky is.
It sucks you in.
It settles into your brain. You're like, this is good.
See, the second watch, I was like, wait a minute, this is kind of fire. So I'm in on Rocky 1 again.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot of homework. I'm going to go to the movies. I haven't been to the movies in like 3 years.
Well, dude, Cocaine Bear's out.
I always want to do a double feature. Like, you know, like I used to sneak into a second movie. Like, imagine a double feature.
Double
like,
afternoon.
Of Creed 3 and Cocaine Bear.
Dude, I want to watch Cocaine Bear so bad.
I did too. I might go for my birthday tomorrow.
There's an Oscar.
After the 10 miles?
Might be the move.
10 miles right into Cocaine Bear.
hey, it's a minimum of 10. It might be 12.
More like 13. Cocaine Bear into the 10 miles.
That would probably, or if I do 10 miles and then watch Cocaine Bear and then just do another 10
after. I mean, why not?
You know what? I'm revved up now.
But no cocaine.
Did some cocaine in the movie theater. Now I'm ready to run.
Wow. Wow. All right, Chris.
No,
happy
guys,
birthday.
I don't party like that. Neither do I.
There's some in boxing that are cocaine bears, legitimately. There are a lot.
Many.
Yes.
That's next episode.
Some that we've listed on this episode. Happy birthday, Chris. Hope you have a good one. Everyone have a great weekend. Ronnie, have a good one. Everyone have a good one. I want everyone out there to have a great weekend. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We out.